Okay, let's talk a little bit about TV viewing. All of this whatnot notwithstanding, we could use a good sitcom these days. We reached out to Matt Rausch. Matt Rausch is the senior TV critic at TV Guide. He's an old friend of mine. At least I think he is. Matt, this is John, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
You play much table tennis, Matt?
There was a time. It has been many, many years. I wasn't very good then. I would be absolutely horrific now, I'm sure.
You mean when you were a preteen, right, when people played that game?
All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming out this fall. First of all, this summer, in general, what was a highlight, what was a lowlight for you on TV?
Well, I'll say that the highlight was, I think, a very eventful season of Game of Thrones that got huge numbers, broke records for HBO, and it was sort of one payoff after another, even if some of them were a bit predictable. I mean, the scale of that show is unlike anything else on TV. The dragon battles, the sea battles, you name it. It was just really huge, epic television, epic fantasy, the way that, you know, you think like Lord of the Rings for television, sort of. And it's heading into a final season, which we're not sure when we're going to get, whether it'll be in 2018 or 2019, but only six more episodes to go. But the seven episodes that aired this summer were absolutely spectacular.
That should be against the law. They haven't even begun filming the final season, or the second half of this season, if you will. I mean, literally, you're sitting there hanging on your edge of your seat going, what's going to happen next? It's going to be at least a year before anybody has any hope for you to know what's going to happen. Crazy.
Well, they can only shoot it during the winter now because the winter has come. So that is one of their other handicaps. I mean, I guess they could fake it to some extent, but some of those location filmings are just absolutely, again, really, really wild.
Yeah.
So, and they're shooting it all over Europe and other places, Spain, Iceland, you name it. So it really is pretty a mammoth production to pull that off. So yes, even though it's a long wait, hopefully, like this season, it will have been worth it.
Twin Peaks. Did you watch much of that this summer?
I did, I made myself watch the whole thing. I was a big fan of the original for what it stood for, but what I loved about the original was that it actually sort of played the TV game, but it did it with sort of a David Lynch feel. This time it was 18 hours of pure, unfettered David Lynch weirdness, and I grew rather weary of it. Although some people look at it as a masterpiece, this was the part of the Twin Peaks that I didn't really enjoy, the stuff involving alternate dimensions and people in other people's bodies, and it was just too weird, and I thought it was pretty self-infatuated, to be honest with you. But some people are heralding it as true genius, and I will say there's nothing else like it. I've never seen anything else quite like it, and there were moments that were just so fabulously bizarre, so I will give it that, but it did not need to be 18 hours of that. That's just my opinion, because other people think it is the best TV show that has aired this year and maybe ever. I don't know.
The Deuce is on HBO. James Franco, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode of that, which is about as long as some whole series of other shows. It was like 90 minutes long.
Well, it's definitely a movie-length pilot, and as you will know if you watch that first episode, which they put out in advance of its actual premiere this Sunday, it's not terribly story-driven, and it remains that way for much of the eight episodes of the first season. That's sort of another new trend nowadays, that the dramas don't have to have strong storylines to carry you through, that comedies don't have to be particularly funny anymore, that sort of a thing, and it's seen as high art, I guess. But I do think that The Deuce recreates that period so brilliantly. This is from David Simon and George Pelicanos, who were involved in The Wire, which was one of HBO's true breakthrough series,
yeah.
And recreating that period in the 70s, which it's so sleazy and it's so grimy that the joke I'm saying is that you might want to watch with some disinfectant at hand, because it just really is just so grody in most regards, as it recreates this world of the prostitutes and their pimps, and eventually the world of pornography. And by the end of the eight episodes, what's happened, and the whole reason this show exists, is because it's trying to dramatize what happens when the sex industry, especially in pornography, becomes more legitimized. You know, the final episode of the season involves the opening of Deep Throat as like a major movie premiere, you know, when X-rated movies were able to go into commercial theaters, and it was no longer behind closed doors. So it's a very interesting show with amazing characters. I think James Franco is terrific in the dual role. Maggie Gyllenhaal plays this independent streetwalker who ends up getting involved in the porn industry. She's going to start making movies at some point. Really, really great characters here. So it is more about the fact that you are immersing yourself in a world that they have recreated pretty brilliantly.
Yeah, although you know how you immersed yourself in the 50s and 60s with Mad Men, and you loved the clothes, and the smoking seemed chic, and the drinking seemed however excessive. I don't know. You, in context, thought it was kind of cool. On this, you want to give the characters a bath. Everybody needs a shower.
Yeah, what I do appreciate about this, it doesn't romanticize, and it also doesn't demonize very many of the characters. There's some bad guys in this show. Some of the pimps in particular are pretty awful to their women, but it doesn't romanticize the era. Well, how can you? If you ever saw my first taste of New York City was as a high school student coming from Indiana in the late 70s, and then 2 years later I came back in college, and anytime I came to New York, it was absolutely the pits.
Yeah.
The 70s were really bad years for New York City. This is kind of also, if you watch the Scorsese films that sort of recreate that time, or things like Mean Streets, which I think came out when I was in college, that it captures that same kind of vibe and tone. Yeah, it's not a pretty picture here at the Deuce, unlike what you said, like with the sort of the nostalgia, but also the fact that Mad Men took you a little bit darker into that world, but still the world was beautiful to look at. That is not the case with the Deuce.
The Deuce on HBO starts, September 10th is the kickoff date officially. On
right.
HBO. Real quick, just have you seen much of the PBS documentary series about the Vietnam War that Ken Burns has done? He's in town Thursday night talking about it, and I'm going to go look at that and see him talk.
Oh, you're in for a treat. I mean, I have seen the entire series. That was my Labor Day, basically. I've just put that to bed for the magazine, which will be coming out in the next week. So, yeah, I wouldn't say made myself sit through it all. I mean, it's really as his films tend to be, are extremely absorbing. And this, I think, it's kind of him coming full circle from the show that made his reputation more than 25 years ago when the Civil War first came on TV. And now we have this Vietnam War, which is one of his most contemporary documentaries. Which also is about a civil war, not just in Vietnam between the North and the South, but also the rift that became in the country with the anti-war protests. And some of the soldiers who are interviewed here, former soldiers, veterans, who were so heartbroken when they came home to less than a hero's welcome, but then many of them also turned against the war the more they really figured out what was going on and in the later days of the war. So it really talks about, I think, just the... You know, it's a very emotional series, to be honest with you, not just in the recreation of the horrors of war, but also in terms of the schisms in the country. You've got Gold Star mothers interviewed here. You've got other family members of service people, and these service people tell their stories so eloquently, as they often do. Where Ken Burns finds some of these people is beyond me, but it is a very immersive show.
Oh,
it
yeah.
also involves, soldiers from both sides, from the North and South.
Yes.
Vietnam. So it really is a very, very full picture.
Yeah, I saw a half-hour mini-documentary about the making of the documentary. It's 18 hours. It's on PBS. It starts September 17th, the
That's
Vietnam
right.
War.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Burns' latest. That other show we were talking about, HBO's The Deuce, starts Sunday, September 10th. Young Sheldon starts September 25th. It's amazing to me we're still waiting for that. I've seen trailers for it, I think, forever, but it looks promising to me. I think that kid looks adorable. What do you know about this show?
Yeah, I've only seen the one episode, and yeah, I will say one of the sad things about the fall season, and it's network TV, it's unfortunate because we kind of moved beyond with things like Netflix and everything else. Network TV kind of seems a bit like a dinosaur, and this idea of the construct of the fall season beginning, and with them over-promoting every single show they have, or the shows they really are intent on you being aware of, that, you know, your first look, I just got a letter from somebody saying, the first time I saw the promo for Young Sheldon, I was really into it, can't wait to see it, and now I've seen it like 100, 200 times.
Yeah.
Now I'm a lot less excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad, because what I love about Young Sheldon is that, unlike most spinoffs, it is not copying the tone of The Big Bang Theory. It could not be a more different show. This is the Sheldon Cooper character. As a 9-year-old kid in East Texas, he is a fish out of so many kinds of water, and he is being promoted to high school as a 9-year-old. The teachers don't know what to make of him. His family doesn't know what to make of him, and he is sort of blithely just kind of going through this. But the 9-year-old version of Sheldon is so much sweeter than the adult version, who's so prickly and drives everybody crazy. Here's this little kid in a bow tie, and he thinks he's just all that, and he is just this prim little character, and he's really, really sweet. And the show has sort of a Wonder Years tone to it, taking us back to the 1980s. So in that regard, and it's also a single camera comedy, it doesn't have a studio audience laughing at every joke, so it could not be more different than The Big Bang Theory. It's going to air on the 25th, like you said, which is a Monday night, and then it will not be seen again until November, because it'll be airing on Thursday on NBC behind Big Bang Theory. And the Thursday night CBS schedule doesn't really kick into full gear until the Thursday night football thing that they do in September and October. When that ends, then you'll get the Thursday night lineup on CBS, and that will include Young Sheldon airing on a weekly basis after Big Bang Theory. So it's going to be handed a huge audience, but the question is whether the audience for Big Bang Theory will accept and embrace a show that feels so different than the original, which is something I like about it.
Matt Rauch is a senior TV critic at TV Guide. A couple of other shows I want to bounce off of you. I got to take a quick break, Matt, but when we come back, talk to me about the new Will and Grace, or the old Will and Grace. If you know much about 10 Days in the Valley and The Gifted, and a friend of mine also has been watching on, was it AMC Manhunt, Unabomber, that story. And my buddy said that's one of the best shows he's seen in a long time. We'll pick it up here in a minute on WGN. We're visiting with TV Guide's Matt Rauch, talking about what we did see this summer, but more importantly, what we're looking forward to this fall. You see the trailers for Young Sheldon, Ken Burns' new PBS series about the Vietnam War. There's this HBO thing called The Deuce. Will and Grace, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, hopefully thumbs up. I mean, I'm really only judging on the video they made for YouTube back last fall during the presidential campaign. It really showed them that they still had the juice. NBC got excited. They got excited and said, well, let's do it as a series again. They've only just gone into production. But it's the same writers and the same cast. What I like about this, as opposed to some of these other kind of reboots they're doing this season, like there's going to be a new SWAT for CBS, and the CW is doing a new version of Dynasty. And those just don't really seem like great ideas to me, plus they're not particularly good shows. But Will and Grace, by bringing back the original cast, all of whom won Emmys back in the day, and sort of giving them the chance to riff on today's society and culture, I think that it could be great fun. What we've seen so far looks really good, but I haven't seen a full episode yet, so I'm just staying hopeful that it will sort of rekindle our affection for that kind of must-see TV comedy that NBC was once known for. So, I've talked to people who've been at one of the tapings, and they really liked it, so hopefully everybody else will too.
Have you been watching Discovery Channel's Manhunt Unabomber series?
Yeah, I'm really high on that. I thought that was a really great docudrama that they've been doing over the last few weeks. I think there is one more episode to go. I think it's about, but I imagine they're all on demand if you haven't watched it. But yeah, a recreation of the manhunt for the Unabomber and the forensics where this young investigator, using the linguistic forensics and having to battle his bosses and say, yeah, I think we've actually got our man, but they had to use a technique that had never been proven before, and the stakes were so high because this loner out in the woods in Montana was sending these bombs through the mail, and the performances by Sam Worthington as the detective and Paul Bettany as Ted Kaczynski, and one of the episodes recently gave you Ted's sort of tragic backstory to explain how he became this sort of twisted loner who hated society so much and why that all happened. So it has been a really pretty intense and really interesting crime drama to play out. So we'll see. That did very well for them, and I think you'll probably see future manhunts, much the way that we're doing these anthology series on cable now. So I think you'll see probably another manhunt series sometime in the future with a different kind of story, probably still based on true crime. True crime being such a big part of television nowadays. Law and Order is going to spin off a Law & Order True Crime miniseries as part of the franchise with the Menendez murders coming up in regular prime time in September with Edie Falco playing the lawyer Leslie Abramowitz as they recreate the Menendez brothers' trial. So that is, again, it's a major, I guess you would call it a major trend of the industry nowadays. Yeah. To recreate these crimes or revisit them somehow or other.
A friend of mine who is championing this Manhunt Unabomber on the Discovery Channel was saying how it's got a lot of Chicago connections and that they determined that the Ted Kaczynski guy was from the Chicago area at least at some point, because in his manifesto or his letters, he would spell words with one L, which was a trait from the Chicago Tribune. And they said,
yes.
How would he have decided that he only used one L? But Colonel McCormick, who was in charge of the Chicago Tribune, wanted some spelling of some words to go one way. And that was a Chicago-centric thing. So he was probably reading the Tribune. And my goodness, that's creative thinking there, but it turned out to be right.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, the whole mechanism of how they discovered him through that kind of language, yeah, because they were reading the manifesto, and the manifesto gave them so many linguistic clues as to who this guy was. And because he was so detached from society, he only was able to get his language cues from certain things that he'd read. And so it's really, really interesting show. Well done. That's been on Discovery Channel for the summer. That was a nice summer surprise.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and look for that. Give me one of the show maybe, Matt, that you think we should be looking forward to this fall or maybe even watching right now?
Well, in terms of docudrama, there's going to be a bunch of military dramas on TV in the fall. You'll see them on the networks. They have very generic names like Brave and Valor and SEAL Team, and they're, you know, okay and solid. But the one that I was most excited about is going to come on in November on National Geographic. Again, it's a limited series docudrama, much as the Manhattan Unabomber is. It's called The Long Road Home, based on Martha Raddatz from ABC's book about a 2004 ambush in occupied Baghdad, and it's a pretty intense. It's almost like what's the one where they shot down the helicopter, the Black Hawk Down?
Right.
It's that kind of a story. I've only seen one episode so far, but it's really intense and really strong drama of that sort. So in terms of military storytelling, the ones on network TV are pretty generic, but The Long Road Home that's going to come on National Geographic in November looks really, really good.
Still have to wait a little bit for some of those, but there's at least a few suggestions from Matt Rausch from TV Guide, TV Critic over there. Any place else I should plug you, Matt? Is that the best place to read you online?
Yeah, that's good. And the online version is TVinsider.com, and our fall preview issue is on stands even now, carrying you through this week. So that is the big issue that tells you many of the things we've already been talking about.
Nice to talk to you, Matt. Let's visit again.
That'd be great. Appreciate it, John.
Matt Rausch.